One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit betterhelp.com/Padilla because sometimes existing is exhausting.
What do you got? Let me see. That's wild. It won't even fit. It fit my pinky.
Oh, damn. That went on my biggest finger. My name's Anthony Padilla, and I spent today with Hassan Piker to uncover the truth about how amassing over 2 million followers on Twitch and becoming the top political pundit of our generation has changed the trajectory of his life, and how nearly everything he does is considered so controversial that entire hate campaigns have been constructed against him. Hello, Hassan!
What's going on?
You are gaining an average of 1 million followers a year on Twitch.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Now, over the past 2 years, each year you've had a high of almost 250,000 concurrent viewers. Why do you think so many people are drawn to watch you?
People are not very honest about why things are terrible. Everybody, for the most part, feels a little worse overall year over year. I think a lot of people feel angry. I try to direct their anger at the system rather than individuals and explain to them why they feel the way that they do.
Use that anger that you feel towards more productive avenues. Instead of getting fucking upset at wealth inequality in the system, try to change the system.
I have an empathetic worldview that centers around uplifting marginalized people on not only the basis of identity, like whatever kind of marginalization that they experience, but also class, which is something that is devoid from the American conversation most of the time. As long as you are willing to learn, as long as you're willing to change, then you're welcome. I'm going to talk to you and try to educate you.
Right, right.
Because I think that is how you change people's minds. And I think I've been relatively successful at, you know, deprogramming a lot of people's like prior confirmations and prior attitudes and beliefs.
Do you think this is part of why you are seen as such a controversial figure?
Yeah, for sure. This is like centuries of wiring people a certain way. On the one hand, someone can sedate you into thinking like, no, everything is normal, it's the best way. And then on the other hand, you have someone who's like, no, you should be angry at the system. That kind of spoils the game for a lot of people who would rather maintain that stability. There's a concerned effort of like presenting me as more controversial than I actually would be. Yeah. It's the age-old narrative that you have been able to create, which is socialist, but he's a hypocrite because he has nice things. Mm-hmm. Like that's unacceptable. It's a poverty cult. It's supposed to be a poverty cult. It's stupid.
Can you list some of the controversies that you've been a part of?
Oof.
I don't know if we have time, but I know you got to go stream for 12 hours.
So yeah, we can just like do a full list. One of my first big controversies was America deserved 9/11.
Fuck it. I'm saying it. America deserved 9/11, dude.
I'm sure lots of people watching right now are happy to hear that I have someone on the show that said America deserved 9/11.
I talked about all this stuff, and that obviously was the reason why I said it's blowback. Like, we funded the same people that did 9/11, and we continue to work with the same people, the government, that played a way, way more fundamental role in 9/11 than Afghanistan or Iraq. Literally, there was like 8 documentaries, I think, that came out in the 20th anniversary of 9/11 that described all of that. So I had a lot of my friends even, they were like, I kind of hated what you had to say back then, but now I totally understand what you were talking about.
Why do you think it is that these documentaries could say the exact same thing as you, but not get any blowback?
Because they didn't say it in my language. Like, let's be real. I mean, I'm going to be fair here. Okay.
Really? They didn't say America deserved 9/11?
No, they didn't.
Do you regret using the language?
No.
Specifically?
Not even remotely. I think it was a matter of being taken out of context. It very quickly went into a subreddit. They blasted it off there, and then Keemstar picked it up, and then Fox News picked it up. Mm. And it became a huge news story in a 24-hour cycle, and they think that I am a supporter because I'm Muslim. And I'm socialist, like I'm a communist terrorist sympathizing Muslim. This is what the overarching narrative was. Mm-hmm. And not that like America's foreign policy is directly responsible for 9/11. There was a period of stability and not being canceled for a while. Post 2020, election cycle ended. Some positive coverage came out of me, doing well and, like, I guess leading the Zoomer flock in politics. And immediately that's when people are like, no, fuck this guy. Mm-hmm. It's time again. What ended up happening is, yeah, I bought a house. I'm sorry.
That's
pretty fucked up. I mean,
I know.
I saw the headlines. Yeah. It's fucked up.
The irony, of course, is that, like, I've been living in the same neighborhood for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. So instead of renting, I bought a house. And that was deemed unacceptable by people. No one in my community was like, oh man, I've been giving this guy $5 a month. You're mean to tell me that he's buying stuff with that money?
No. We wanted you to go fund other people's GoFundMes.
Yeah. And it's like, which I do, some public and you know, most private. Now I do it more publicly. Mm-hmm. Because I feel kind of gross about it, but like, it's just, you have to do it. People were saying like, why don't you lobby the government for socialism? Very funny that people think like I have a fraction of the power.
Yeah.
That like literally any like run-of-the-mill 100 millionaire has. Right. I don't even have a fraction of that power. Mm. I had a really old, and still have, a really old Toyota Camry 2010. V6.
Damn, you went all the way though.
Yeah, that. So I had that for like 10 years. I'm 30. I want to get a nice car. Mm. I have enough money.
Midlife crisis age range.
Yeah. I wanted to get it before. I wanted to get ahead of that. So, you know, I got a Porsche Taycan. I did it publicly this time because I was like, I got to do this fucking privately because there's no reason.
It's going to seem like you're trying to hide it.
And then they were still mad because last time they were like, he was trying to hide that he had a house, like piece of shit hypocrite. And then they were like, he did this publicly. He's flexing.
There is no right way to spend your money.
No, really. Absolutely not. It's more so about trying to figure out another new way to be like, I don't like this person.
Yeah.
Here's how I'm going to justify that.
What was your childhood like?
I was a nerdy kid.
Born in the U.S., then moved to Turkey pretty quickly.
I was in a Maribu.
It's like a weeboo for like America.
Yeah. You know, I would my hands on anything that was like American and I would love it. I would like learn about it.
What were your favorite American things to get your hands on?
Snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Desserts.
Yeah.
Oreos.
Oreos. The American delicacy.
You joke because like you have an abundance of it.
Yeah.
But 100%. Like when I came to America for the summers, I would spend every waking moment that I had at Borders. I would sit there and I would read every comic book I could. Because I was like, this is free. No one is stopping me from reading these. I'm the reason. It's not Jeff Bezos. I brought down Barnes & Noble and Borders.
Jeff Bezos. I did the it. Product of Hassan Piker.
Yeah, I'm his bravest warrior.
Fucking canceled.
Yeah.
What was life like in Turkey?
I come from a relatively affluent family, and I did see a shit ton of income inequality, especially when I went to public school in Turkey. I went to school with like the neighborhood gardener's kid. I think that was the first time where I was like, oh damn, this is like kind of fucked up.
That you have something that you were just born into?
This is just a kid like me, but they're in a situation, it seems like they don't have all the cool stuff that I can have. That definitely impacted my perspective a little bit. But other than that, I mean, it was all right. Turkey was, it was fine. I spent most of my time drawing. Playing video games.
Do you still draw?
No. I gave it up because my dad was like, you need to become a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. This drawing stuff is great, but you can't make money doing it. He wanted me to pursue my passion while also simultaneously telling me that like, but like, you also need to make a living. You'll starve. That's what I did. I focused on, getting a degree, and now I stream on Twitch, so it doesn't even matter.
What first drew you to politics?
You live on that side of the planet, you're constantly paying attention to what America's doing. Because America's actions in the Middle East impact your life. It was for survival, first and foremost. And I think that's why a lot of people pay attention to me on an international level, because I'm covering American politics from the point of view of someone who didn't grow up here. I was definitely bullied a lot. When we were growing up, being a nerd wasn't like super cool, right?
No.
It wasn't. Now it is. Now you're like, you got like kids on TikTok who are jacked as fuck. They're like, yeah, I'm a nerd.
No, I remember secretly talking about Pokemon with my friends in elementary school because the other kids would look at me weird and you know, shun me.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
It was not like a sick thing. So then imagine being that, but in Turkey, where they have no frame of reference even. They just like looked at me like I was just some weirdo. I was kind of bigger. I wasn't as big as I am now. So I was always worried. And I think people saw that, or like bullies saw that and were like, I'm gonna capitalize on that insecurity. I'm gonna take down like a big guy.
How do you think bullying has shaped who you are now?
It taught me that it's The reason why they're doing it is because they are deeply flawed.
Did you see that when you were young?
I think I saw it when I got older. I realized looking back that it was their own personal insecurities.
Growing up, you also always questioned authority. Was that something that was instilled within you? Is that something that developed?
I kept going with the streak I had in me of like not wanting to live under the oppressive thumb of my parents.
Even though they gave you the privileged life that you
100%. Yeah, I'm yeah, exactly. I think that there was like flaws in their parenting, obviously, that I recognize now. They wouldn't let me be on MSN Messenger because they thought like a pedophile would steal me. Can't even communicate with my friends. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me play online games, so I had to like find ways around that. Of course, growing under the Erdogan regime's inception in Turkey, you know, a 20 plus year long regime now, I realized like, oh shit, this sucks. Like, I do not like conservatism at all. I despise it. Came to the United States in 2009. To go to college. I wanted to go to Miami because nice weather and I wanted to party. So I went to the University of Miami for a year, living like this sheltered life with my family to like being 18 years old and being treated as an adult because you're in college. Developed an unhealthy attitude about alcohol. I was a promoter in Miami, University of Miami. I promoted for nightclubs there. It was just like a way for me to be able to go to nightclubs and drink for free. These were not nightclubs and they were plus 18 avenues, ventures, allegedly.
Oh, because you were 18. Holy fuck. You were not the 18-year-old that did not get the 18-year-olds to not go to the clubs.
Yes, exactly.
How did your experience in the U.S. compare to your expectations?
Because the freedom, the abundance, like everything was great. You know, I'm a degenerate. I'm a hedonist. It was awesome on all of those avenues. And then I became an adult. Once I left college, I was like, oh, this sucks. I came to L.A., was very lucky. I couldn't find a job, but at least my uncle had an opportunity for me to intern for his YouTube channel. My salary was abysmally low, living in the kitchen of a fraternity house. That's when I was like, oh shit, maybe this like America stuff that they were talking about, like maybe it was bullshit. Midway through, you know, my content creation part, I started getting better at it. The internal recognition was not there at all though. So that was like a big chip on my shoulder and it constantly felt like an uphill battle. So I was like, I need to do something for myself. And because of that, I guess I was like constantly working on improvement that because of those goals, I was like too busy to even care about, you know, what my financial circumstances were. January 2020, I started the election cycle. COVID caused everybody to stay indoors.
Yeah.
George Floyd protests were happening and everyone wanted to understand what was going on. And they realized like, oh, there's a dude who's literally live all the time.
Then you were like, cool, 3,600 hours this year.
Yeah.
Like full throttle. That's like 10 hours a day.
Pretty much like waking up, streaming, going to sleep, streaming.
How do you deal with the waves of negativity?
I internalize it and I just I hold on
I can see
it.
All that, I can see a lot of tension in your shoulders right now. Hold it right here.
Yeah, I hold it right here. And then I work out and I get angry and then I, you know, fire off on some random.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Unsuspecting person in my chat.
I don't have time to pre-watch every video that I want to play on stream because I'm too busy fucking your mother. Sorry.
Are you ever trolling on purpose?
Oh, always.
And do people believe that you actually believe the things that you're saying when you play the conservative character?
Brother, this is a right-wing broadcast. You mean to tell me a libtard would be a Korea veteran?
I hope they do. Like Hank Pecker. I want them to believe that that's like a real person.
Yeah, they're conservative?
Pecker, I did not know his name.
Pecker.
Yeah.
It's my name. I've been here in a libtard studio with bisexual lighting.
I did it just for you, Hank.
People sometimes have a hard time understanding what my political position is because they're so used to people being like, I love the Democrats or I love the Republicans. And I'm like, fuck both of them. They're both terrible. When people hear me like absolutely shitting on Nancy Pelosi, they probably think I'm like a Republican. But then also on top of that, when I do that accent, they're like, wait a minute, this guy.
You don't see AOC going out there playing a Republican character.
She's a politician. You know?
But people look at you like you're a politician.
I know. It's ridiculous. I'm not. I am literally a dumb himbo on Twitch. Like, I make jokes about, you know, Chrissy.
Yeah, which, you know, we can understand why.
So it is ridiculous that people, like, hold me to that standard that I myself do not hold myself to. I see myself as an entertainer, a worldview, and I'm honest about it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I also like to have fun. And I think that people want you to be serious all the time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, we want to talk about cussy, okay? Yeah. We want to get deep in that cussy.
Oh, God. I just... What have I done?
Leading up to this interview, I was a little nervous. I'm like, Hassan, this guy is intimidating as fuck for some reason. Have you been told that before?
Yes. I don't know why. I think I'm like a teddy bear, but...
I mean, it could be the 6'4" bodybuilder demeanor.
That's literally part of the reason why I paint my nails. I think it makes me look less intimidating.
Is that why you wear a choker?
I like accessorizing. I think men don't have a lot of options to accessorize. Yes. It's messed up.
I think accessorizing sucks and men shouldn't do it.
No, you have some sick jewelry. What do you got? Let me see.
You want that's all for one finger.
You have three for one finger.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's wild. It won't even fit.
What, are your fingers too meaty?
Yeah. It fit my pinky.
Oh, damn. That went on my biggest finger. Do you pride yourself in kind of shattering the expectations for, you know, party divides and party expectations?
I definitely transcend beyond, like, party loyalty, for sure. Yeah. It's not a surprise to me when Democrats and Republicans regularly find bipartisan consensus for things that actually matter materially. Things that we disagree on are really impactful and really important, except they are what is known as wedge issues, created specifically for the purpose of causing division and making it seem like a party is different than the other party. It's all cultivated. It's mass outrage and mass panic that you're causing, that you're creating this division so you can get people to vote for you rather than the other side.
Why do you think everything is so divisive? It sounds like a lot of the beliefs of Americans in general do line up, but there is this idea that we are 100% divided on everything.
The different kinds of cookies that you buy at the aisle is owned by the same company, but they got to make it seem like they're different, right? In the grand scheme of things, like, those wedge issues do have serious impact on the people that we're talking about, whether it's immigrants, whether it's trans kids, whether it's, you know, gay kids, whether it's women that want to get an abortion or have autonomy over their own bodies. You know, these are definitely things that are impactful to those individuals, but ultimately they're perfectly crafted in a way that creates division.
And I noticed you mentioned some things and then you were like, well, not everyone. Do you feel like that's a reflex for you now after streaming for so many hours for you to kind of over-explain your position on things now?
Yeah, there is that type of speaking
where
you reflexively defend positions that, like, no human being would ever think you have to defend. And I do that all the time. I have to constantly and consistently qualify every single sentence that I put out there, especially because I am constantly under the mindset that there are people out there that are watching every single thing that I'm saying and doing and will use that to clip it in a different way and make it seem like I believe in the opposite of what I actually believe. It's insane that I have to do that, but it's just the part of the fucking job. It's the way I see it. Most normal people, they probably think, like, what the fuck? Why does this guy keep, like, saying he hates Putin? Well, it's because, like, you know, people will literally say, no, you love Putin.
Right.
And we'll cut it in a way to make it seem like that. You say you like oranges and someone will pop out of somewhere and be like, oh, that means you fucking hate apples. Like, how dare you? I love apples. You are angry at me for eating apples. Why do you hate me? I have a Vladimir Putin is bad sign. It's like flipping on the corner of the screen all day, every day.
So no one can clip it and be like, see?
No, but they still do. They still clip it.
Even when it has the...
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. What you see in front of your eyes is unimportant as long as, like, you have a preconceived notion of a particular person.
And I think it kind of breaks people's minds when they see someone like you posing with a gun. Before we get more into that, I want to let you know that you can watch other episodes with prominent figures like I Spent a Day with Mia Khalifa, Corpse, Amaranth, Dream, and so many others here on YouTube. And I'd also like to thank Honey for sponsoring this episode and supporting us in continuing to improve this series. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one that it finds to your cart, so you don't have to stare at that empty discount code box every time you're at checkout, because if Honey finds a coupon that works, a Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupon. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from tech to popular fashion brands and food delivery. Honey has personally saved me a fuck ton of money when I venture into my online buying trance, including the new shoes Hassan and I will be wearing on our way to Himbo Haven. Again, Honey is free and it installs in just a few seconds. So if you want to do yourself a solid and also support this series, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Padilla. Again, it's free. And I'm only going to say this one more time, so listen closely. Go to joinhoney.com/Padilla and you'll be directly supporting this series. Now back to the world of Hassan Piker. And I think it kind of breaks people's minds when they see someone like you posing with a gun. You know, they're like, I guess that means that you are alt-right, and then you're saying these things that are against that, and then they're like, I don't know what that means.
You're right. I mean, I enjoy shooting guns. I think guns are fun. Mm-hmm. But they're murder weapons. That's the only purpose of a gun, is to murder. We got to dispel this notion that, like, liberals don't like guns. I think liberals like guns, too. It's just, like, America, we have more guns than we have people.
Yeah.
It's crazy out here. It's bananas. They should definitely stop that. Put the toothpaste back in the tube.
It's very hard to do. I tried it.
We got to do it. We got to figure it out. And it goes back to, again, our lack of community and our alienation from our labor and our alienation from one another. The only type of cultural signifier that we have is our commodity consumption. Mm-hmm. What you're wearing, what you consume, going to Applebee's. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of Diet Coke or are you a fan of Diet Pepsi?
And in many ways, these things become attached to identity.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. And guns are a part of that. I love guns, brother. You know, I'm a fucking gun guy. That's the Republican dude version of a Gucci. The idea that, like, people are going to come and break into your house, that's why you need an AR-15 for self-defense, is idiotic, because anyone who has ever shot a gun knows that AR-15s are terrible for home defense. You will literally blow through 8 of your fucking walls and probably shoot the neighbor if you try to do a self-defense with an AR-15, unless you are getting broken into your home by, like, a Nicaraguan death squad.
And then they're gonna make a movie about your life.
Unless you're John Wick, you don't need to fucking do self-defense. A gun, a pistol will do, or better than that, the best self-defense tool is a shotgun.
You are constantly discussing and questioning beliefs.
I try. I question myself a lot, too. People say I'm confident. I have crippling self-doubt, like, so much self-doubt. What if I'm getting something wrong? What if I will get this wrong? What if I'll get that wrong? I don't want to misinform people. And I do get things wrong. Like, the greatest example of this is the invasion of Ukraine. I was incredibly confident that Russia would not invade Ukraine because of all of the reasons why that invasion is going south right now. I demonstrated a level of confidence that I should not have. When you deviate away from that and you get something wrong, people that want to be right will never let you forget that and will constantly harp on it and will constantly use that to, like, undermine your perspective. There were a lot of people that, for the first couple days of the invasion, when I was doing my coverage, would come in specifically to be like, hold this L. I'm like, dude, there are people dying on fucking screen.
They want to celebrate your loss?
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
You must get recognized a lot.
Yeah, I do get recognized, yes. I love it. I don't have any issue with it. I owe everything to my fans. Everything. I would be nothing without them.
And your haters?
Not my haters. Fuck them. They can rot in hell. Okay?
They get you views.
No. Fuck them. I don't want their views. That's the one thing I realize, is that if you're constantly on the internet, a lot of your interactions are unfortunately painted by those people that can swarm a comment section, make you think, oh man, I wonder how many other people now feel this way about me, even though it's completely untrue. And then I go outside and then I meet people and I talk to them. And then I remember again, like, oh no, these people on the internet are not real people. But ultimately, I just got to maintain that attitude always.
And
think about, you know, the real world. And in the real world, either A, no one gives a shit, or B, if they do, they're usually very positive. Mm-hmm. Never had a negative interaction with someone in the real world.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that doesn't change, but when you reach a certain size, you do have the opportunity to make changes in people's lives. And it's something that I often take for granted or forget about, but it's awesome to see it in real life, in public. That's what makes it worth it.
What's next for Hassan? Is there anything you could hint?
Just what I've been doing, honestly. Yeah. Everybody always asks, like, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next?
Like, have you been offered a show yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have plenty of times, and I don't like that. I love what I do. I'm very fortunate. You know, I love having a place where I can go to every day and talk about politics every day. I don't want to expand. I don't want to grow. I'll grow, but as long as I can grow in my own pace, as long as I can continue doing what I'm doing and not change that, not be beholden to a larger company or investors or anything like that. Then I'm fine. I'm fine with that growth.
Well, there you have it. I spent today with Hassan Piker, and it's made me realize how everything we do, wear, and believe all make up our identity. And anything that threatens those things can feel like a personal affront to our well-being. Maybe the world would be filled with much less rage if we were all encouraging of remaining open-minded and evolving, even if it were to threaten those things that we once thought defined us.
That's my favorite thing is like when people are like, you're a product of nepotism. It's like, yes, I am. I recognize it. And I talk about it regularly. Mm-hmm. Dude, nobody would watch you if you're not hot. I'm like, thing to say.
I like how they can't help but compliment you while they're trying to criticize you.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, dude, you're so successful.
You're so fucking hot and successful.
Like,
and
thanks. I mean, I do. I do recognize that I'm like an incredibly fortunate person.
And incredibly handsome.
Well, I don't think so, but thank you. That's nice of you to say.
Hey, you know, from one himbo to another, I gotta lay it down.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.